Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Jim Garrity of National Review is not here today. He and everyone affiliated with National Review is at the National Review Institute Ideas Summit taking place today in downtown Washington, D.C. So sadly, you're stuck with just me for the next few minutes, a slightly abbreviated version of the Three Martini Lunch today. But just because Jim is not here and the entire staff of National Review is preoccupied today doesn't mean that you don't deserve your dose of good, bad, and crazy martinis. The good martini today is a jump off from Thursday's, and that was a look at the Trump budget, his wish list, essentially, that will not, unfortunately, in many cases, be the actual appropriations approved by Congress later this year. But it does give you a pretty good look at what he thinks the size of government ought to be and which parts of government ought to take priority. He wants to spend more money on national defense through the Pentagon and through Homeland Security, as well as take care of veterans. Doesn't mean those areas don't have a lot of bloat that could be cut, so we'll see if he's aggressive in those areas as well. But a lot of the other agencies he wants to see cuts. 31% cut in EPA and big cuts also in the State Department, HUD, Health and Human Services, and so forth. So Budget Director Mick Mulvaney, what a better Irish name can you have than that today on St. Patrick's Day, on Thursday went before the White House press corps explaining why the Trump budget looks the way that it does. And here is a good synthesis of the argument Mulvaney is making. One of the final questions he took at the briefing was, you in this budget have cuts to science and climate change projects. What message are you trying to send with that? Here's what Mick Mulvaney said on that.
A couple different messages when we talk about science and climate change. Well, let's deal with them separately. On science, we're going to focus on the core function. There's reductions, for example, I think in the NIH, National Institutes for Health. Why? Because we think there's been mission creep. We think they do things that are outside their core functions. We think there's tremendous opportunity for savings. We recommend, for example, that a couple of facilities be combined, and there'd be cost savings from that. Again, this comes back to the president's business person view of government, which is if you took over this as a CEO and you'd look at this on a spreadsheet and go, why do we have all of these facilities? Why do we have seven when we can do the same job with three? Won't that save money? And the answer is yes. So part of your answer is focusing on efficiencies and focusing on doing what we do better. Regarding the question as to climate change, I think the president was fairly straightforward. Is that we're not spending money on that anymore. We consider that to be a waste of your money to go out and do that. So that is a specific tie to his campaign.
Two really important points here from Mick Mulvaney, very quickly. First of all, when talking about the idea of streamlining, mission creep and all that sort of thing, he's confronting the idea that unless the government pays for something and keeps paying more money for something, that somehow the government is turning its back on something. There are a lot of different ways for things to be funded than for the taxpayers to do them. And that is one of the messages I think the Trump administration is trying to get out there. And cutting money for something, make something more efficient, isn't neglecting it. Think about your own personal budget at home. If you want to cut $50 or $100 out of the grocery bill, it doesn't mean you want your kids to starve. You just want to do the same job, perhaps even better, but do it more responsibly in terms of the finances. On the climate change front, essentially calling the left's bluff here. The left wants to spend billions and billions of dollars, strangle the economy in many ways, strangle capitalism, all in the hopes of convincing us that maybe one day, a few generations from now, they can tick down the global temperature by a few tenths of a degree. It's pretty arrogant to think that they can do that. And even if they could do it, there's a lot of question about whether something that drastic would be worth it. So good for Mick Mulvaney. And why do you not want the government paying for everything and controlling everything? Well, let's take a look at our bad martini. This is courtesy of the Miami Herald. Facing a bread shortage that is spawning massive lines and souring the national mood, the Venezuelan government is responding this week by detaining bakers and seizing establishments. In a press release, the National Superintendent for the Defense of Socioeconomic Rights, get a load of that, said it had charged four people and temporarily seized two bakeries as the Socialist Administration accused bakers of being part of a broad economic war aimed at destabilizing the country. In a statement, the government said the bakers had been selling underweight bread and were using price-regulated flour to illegally make specialty items like sweet rolls and croissants. The government said bakeries are only allowed to produce French bread and white loaves, or pancania with government-imported flour. However, in a tweet on Thursday, price control czar, there's another good one, William Contreras said only 90% of baked goods had to be price-controlled products. Two bakeries were also seized for 90 days for breaking a number of rules, including selling overpriced bread. So when you let the government control way too much, things it has no business being involved in whatsoever, it creeps and it creeps and it creeps and it creeps. And the more you want government to just do everything for you and pay for everything, which means robbing the taxpayers to do it, you end up ultimately at Venezuela. And then, of course, the government that fails blames the capitalists. All right, on to the crazy martini now. Did you know that milk is racist? Well, that's the story coming out of California State University, Long Beach, the Daily 49er. This is courtesy of the Daily Wire. Samantha Diaz, a staff writer for the student newspaper, the Daily 49er, wrote an article claiming that white supremacists and neo-Nazis are appropriating milk as a symbol of hate. Here is the hook to her article. Quote, "When you think of milk, what first comes to mind? If you're a millennial, you probably think of Strong Bones, Got Milk commercials, or maybe eating your favorite cereal while watching cartoons on a Saturday morning. What about racism? White nationalism? If you're having trouble finding the connection between these institutions and milk, you're not alone. You, along with the rest of the nation, have been so accustomed to hearing the benefits of milk that you probably didn't even realize the subtle racism hidden in our health facts," unquote. Diaz then argued, this is the Daily Wire, that the federal government's endorsement of milk as a beneficial part of the country's diet, quote, "contributes to the problem by uncritically pushing people to drink milk despite the potential detriment it has on non-white people's health." She stated that because African Americans do not suffer from osteoporosis, a bone disease, at the same rates as most Americans, the United States is promoting a racist agenda. I just assumed when I saw that headline it had to do with the fact that milk was white, but apparently it's not that. It's part of a diabolical plot for people to get healthier bones, even people who don't necessarily naturally suffer from osteoporosis. So you've been caught, milk industry. Time to fess up, I guess. Well, the other bad martini, of course, was the Jim was not here today. Hope you've enjoyed the abbreviated version today with me, Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Have a great weekend, everyone, and join us again on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.